Welcome to Talking Music. I'm here with Mark Carey, one of the top jazz pianists in the world today, in my estimation. It's my definite honor and pleasure to be speaking with you today, Mark.
It's my honor, too. Thanks for the great introduction.
Wow. Let's talk about that. I call it the mid-period, the 2006-2009. The song that grabbed me right off the bat was Attachment.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Oh, yeah. That's a wonderful, wonderful song. That's Sameer Gupta's composition.
Oh, it is? Your drummer, right?
Yeah, that's his composition.
All right.
He brought that to the group in Colorado, as a matter of fact. We were playing at Glenwood Springs.
Were you?
Jazz Festival, and we were backstage. He was like, "Man, I got this tune, man," and I had my melodica with me.
Yeah.
And so we're about to go on, maybe in 15 minutes. And he's like, "Man, it's kind of difficult, but you'll love it."
15 minutes.
15 minutes. Yeah. So I learned that, and the second part of that song is very intricate. Now it's a piece of cake, but right at that day that we played it. The first time, and it was just like, oh my goodness.
We're going to go ahead and hear this tune that Mark and I have been talking about, called Attachment. Thank you. That was Attachment by pianist Mark Carey of the Focus Trio. I did a special on you on my jazz show last Friday. I played 11 tunes off Trillium, Focus Trio Live 2009, 2006 Focus Trio, and then I played a bunch of stuff off your two new ones, For the Love of Abby.
Wow, that would be like one of my playlists that I would set up, you know, just to reminisce.
Yeah, but I started out with Attachment. What blows me away is the first 30 seconds of bass creates this expectation in the listener's ear. And then you come in and the drums come in with this just tremendously evocative theme. It's just a beautiful song. And then I followed it with what I hear is one of your heroes, McCoy.
Yeah, he's definitely, I love McCoy. Just, you know, it's his energy and his intention and the way he plays is what really attracted me to him, besides the fact that what he plays is so incredible. You know, but the intention behind it and where those ideas and feelings are coming from. I mean, I don't know, but it feels like it's from a place that's kindred, you know, for me.
Tell me about Randy Weston.
Oh, wow. Randy's, it's always been a figure kind of there for me. I've had access to Randy in various ways. Just being around him, I got to hang out with him in Senegal maybe 3 years ago, which was a great experience for me, knowing how deeply he went into his African roots and you know, explored, you know, and even lived in Africa. So for him to go back to the, we went for the it's called Festmont. And it's they were giving homage to all the Africans that went over on the Middle Passage, and they were kind of given the humble apology for their part in it, you know, and also bringing artists, African American artists, and artists from all around the world, but mainly from America, to come back and perform in Africa. So for me, it was great because I was there with people like Randy and, you know, A.P. Sharp was there and just so many, Wallace Roney. I went with Bill Calhoun. But just a lot of people that I know are affected by, you know, the history and are affected by, you know, the state of you know, things, you know, and we're happy to go back and give some.
Absolutely.
You know, so that was just a great experience, and I've been around him in so many of those kind of circumstances and situations. You know, like he came and performed for Abby Lincoln's memorial, which I was, you know, being the musical director of that when she passed, and you know, I hosted all these cats, Cecil Taylor and Randy, and he was just so beautiful, and his playing is. You know, it's always attracted me because I know it comes out of, you know, the best, you know, from everybody from Earl Father Hines to Duke Ellington, Thelonious Monk, you know, so those are my heroes.
And you played with Betty Carter for quite some time, didn't you?
Yeah, an extended period of time in her world, you know. 2.5 years I played with her, man, and then I went back and did various hits here and there, but that was very, very special period for me, man. I can, you know, honestly say that every period has been good for me in one way or another, you know. Certain things were coming together at every point. So
yeah.
I've always kind of been at an apex of the period, you know. I'll always strive to reach, you know, and I still do, you know. I'm very disciplined with music for some reason, or either that or habitual.
Yeah,
I can't figure out which one it is. You know?
Well, that's so apparent. I was out fighting fires and doing those Colorado floods the entire summer and early fall, and I come back into the studio after 5 months, and here's two, not one, two Mark Carey CDs, For the Love of Abby and Four Directions.
Yeah. And you know, I recorded three CDs in that whole process. I did in a 3 month period, I recorded three CDs. There's another one, you know, I have another group called Indigenous People.
Yeah, I read that.
Right, and Cosmic Indigenous would be a satellite group of that original.
Right.
Almost like what the Funkadelics did with George Clinton did. You had, you know, Funkadelics and the Parlades and the, you know, P-Funk and all of this.
Yeah.
You know, but it's all coming from the same root, you know, so.
Yeah, that's the thing, Mark, is what is really fascinating. I'd sure like to hear some of your music from that go-go period. You know, people like Black Heat, I went on to Amazon, bought that mm-hmm. one right when I read about that.
Yeah,
got
yeah.
turned on to Chuck Brown, man.
Oh, yeah,
man. And to listen to your music, either in 2006, 2009, or in 2013, I go, whoa, well, this cat was playing this P-Funk and groove back in, what, the 90s?
Yeah.
And
I
then
mean, I
you
that
made...
Stuff. I grew up playing that stuff.
Yeah.
I was recording it in the 90s, but I grew up playing
yeah.
it from the 80s, you know, and that was, see, you got to understand, like, the way things are programmed now, and especially in urban areas, everything is hip-hop, and if you look at any TV programming for more than 5 minutes, you'll hear probably 3 minutes of hip-hop.
Yeah.
Within the backdrop. Everything, you know, I mean, it's to the point where it becomes backdrop music, as from where it started in the tumble, you know, alleyways and parks, you know, and playgrounds, man. It becomes a business animal that you know, other music has become, and kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of manifesting itself in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
You know, I used to go down to Central Park on Sundays, and there'd be these Puerto Rican percussion groups. Are they still doing that?
You know, they kind of... The funny thing is, there's a rule on the books, the law on the books that says... and it comes from the time of slavery, or actually, you know, right after the slavery point, there was a law that said no people can congregate and play the drum. The drum is taken away here.
Really?
So, yeah, man. So
that's got to be a Giuliani thing, right?
Well, it's not even. It's just in America. It's tolerated. See what I mean?
Right.
That kind of congregation is tolerated, but when they feel like it, they shut it down.
Yeah.
And it used to be able to hear the drum a lot, you know. Now you don't hear it so much. So I think, in general, that kind of energy is not necessarily tolerated much now.
Yeah.
Unless it's some kind of festival or something like that. But, yeah, they you can still hear traces of it. I mean, the drum is a very powerful thing. So, but to answer your question directly, sometimes you see it, but then you see them cats getting run away, you know,
right.
by the police. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing. It's a funny energy around it now.
Let's hear another song from Mark called Slow Blues for MLK.
Thank you. working in this period of the 20th century. That men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world. Masses of people are rising up. And wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in
That was Slow Blues by the Mark Carey Focus Trio. You shared a drummer with my other great favorite pianist, Lisa Hilton, Nasheed Waits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Nasheed is incredible. He comes from the tradition. You know, his father was Freddie Waits. So he grew up around the drums.
Yeah.
His father was one of the greats. So, and he became his own, you know, person, his own style, his own taste.
Right.
You know.
Mark, I'm just fascinated by the creative process, being a non-musician, and by improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
What kicks in for you or one of your band to initiate getting off the beaten track of how you've always played a tune? What signals? What subconscious? You know what I'm getting at? It's kind of like talking about. And then all of a sudden, everybody's hip to what's going on, and it happens in milliseconds.
I'm gonna tell you that we just did it. You know, we've been doing it, you and I. We've never met. We have things that we enjoy that are common, and that are things that are dear to us that we know about. We have our own experiences about, and we're sharing them right now.
Right.
And some of them are similar, and some of them reflect and remind us of something else that might not even be similar, but it just reminds me of something else because you said that. So that's the only way we can actually have this conversation, and we'll probably have to stop ourselves before we get to the end of what we have to possibly say. You know?
I see where you're coming from, because what we're doing right now really answers the question I asked you. We're doing a riff. Improv, and like I said, I picked up the phone. I never met this guy, Mark Carey.
Yeah.
And now we're into some good stuff. I like it.
Well, see, now if you put it in so that we're doing this in a language, right? And what makes it easy for us to do it, or makes it not such an impossible task, is that we both speak the same language here.
So
then when you transfer that concept into the understanding that music has a language, you know, not just the notes that are written on the page, but an actual language, phrasing, you know, there are things that you and I could say that would be a phrase that would mean something. Somebody could write a whole book about it, you know. We could say one phrase to each other that would maybe bring up a time period or a whole series of events that happened that related to that phrase.
Yeah.
That, you see what I mean?
I see what you mean.
Right. So when you actually study as a musician and as a person, and you absorb things that are in your environment, in things that you might not even be interested in, but things that are there, and you observe them and you don't ignore them, those things are there. And when you practice, you develop muscle memory, you develop reflexes. And when you actually have a musical conversation with people, your musical reflexes are the things that are challenged at that point.
Got it.
And it's almost like an aptitude test. It's basically how much have you absorbed, you know, how deep have you gone, and which enables you to go deeper in this conversation that we're having, music. And then when you do it collectively, you know, and practice this, you develop, you know, a language and stories, you know, that you can actually tell on the spot.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Hey, I'll let you go, man. And
all right, we'll talk soon, you. Definitely, man.
Take care.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been Talkin' Music with Hugh Carson and Mark Carey. Thanks for listening. Here's another tune by Mark, Down Here Below, off his new CD released 2013, For the Love of Abby. And it's a tribute to the great performer, Abby Lincoln, with whom Mark played for a number of years.